From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
That's right, friends. It is fresh news for disc golfers, the people who do it with chance. And welcome to the Disc Golf News for the week of July 12, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Coming up this time, results from last weekend's national tour event, the Brent Hambrick Memorial Open in Columbus, Ohio. We've got an update for you on disc golf's inclusion in the 2009 World Games in Taiwan, and disc golf returns to television in the form of Disc Golf Live. We'll talk with the show's creator, Joe Wander, about that. It's PDGA Radio News, and it's sponsored this and every week by Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
The national tour was in Columbus, Ohio last weekend for the Brent Hambrick Memorial Open. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division, where Andrew Back has been doing it right all season long, but he has yet to get past his nemesis, Brad Hammack. And same story again this week. Hammack wins this one by 12. Back takes second place, Gordon Holton in third. To the Women's Division, where Des Redding had no trouble polishing off the entire field. She's going to win this one by 11. No, make it 21. Ho-ho! However, the big excitement here was the battle for second place between the young Valerie Jenkins and Leslie Herndon. Jenkins with a huge putt on the very last hole. She's going to take second place, Herndon in third. To the Open Division, where Barry Schultz continues his march toward a second world championship. He wins this one handily by 5 over Brian Schweberger. Three-way tie for third place between Ron Russell, Stevie Brinster, and Matthew Blakely. Tournament director Dan Busick had this to say about the performance by the young Valerie Jenkins of Ohio.
Valerie Jenkins hit a birdie putt on hole 6 from about 60 feet and another one on hole 18 to take second place all by herself from about 35 feet in the last hole. That's a Valerie. That was the biggest surprise in her division.
Coming up, news about disc golf's inclusion in the 2009 World Games in Taiwan. But first, in the big picture this week, many of us were introduced to the concept of community access television by these guys. A clip from the long-running Saturday Night Live sketch Wayne's World, starring Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, about two suburban teenagers making a community access television show in their basement. Well, today, if you turn on your local community access television channel, you may be hearing and seeing this.
Welcome to Disc Golf Live, the Professional Disc Golf Association's video magazine. I'm your host, Randall Richards, and this show is about all things disc golf.
Oh, drill it, drill it, drill it,
got it,
drill it, drill it!
Each month, Disc Golf Live will feature one shot, one prime example of disc golf as it's meant to be played. The shot of the month doesn't have to go in the basket. It just has to be great disc golf.
The clip we just heard is from the brand new television show, Disc Golf Live. This is a new presentation by the PDGA and is intended to be distributed to community access television stations across the country. The guy behind Disc Golf Live is Joe Wander. We talked with him at his home office in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Joe Wander, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thanks, Brian.
So, Disc Golf Live, tell us what it is.
Disc Golf Live is a video magazine. Quite simply, it's a collection of short video articles that we're sending out to folks who can play them or have them played on their local community access broadcast station.
And how often will the show occur?
Right now, we've just finished up the first show, and in about 2 months, I expect to have the second show ready, and with any luck, depending on what comes in from contributors around the country, I hope to put a show out every month or so.
And you want to distribute it to public access channels. Give me a little more idea of how that's going to work.
Well, public access is probably the best thing going about it is it's free. It's the station that a lot of us have on our community, or rather on our cable systems, that plays stuff that community members submit, which means anywhere there's a disc golfer who has that in their area, they can just walk down to the station, give them the tape, and they'll often play it. Sometimes you have to get a little more involved, go into a training session to learn how to use the equipment, that sort of thing. But it'll give folks an access route to bringing a little more disc golf information to their community.
Joe, I got to say that I think this idea is really awesome. I mean, I can remember there was a local disc golf tape produced in my community a few years back, and it was given to the local community access channel, and they ran that thing, I bet, 200 times over the next 12 months.
Yeah, that's a real accurate perception. I had the same experience half a dozen years ago when I did something first with video, submitted it to a couple different places, and I, for years after that, heard from people who saw it and finally had a handle on disc golf. They'd been talking about it, or their kids been talking about it for years, and they didn't know what was going on, but they saw it on TV, and then they understood the game. And I think that's important with disc golf, is to give people a chance to see the game. I'm aiming with Disc Golf Live to produce a product that disc golfers will love and that non-disc golfers will see and come to play the game and love it just as much as everyone else.
So, Joe, how did this project come about? How did you get involved?
Well, a couple years ago, I started thinking about ways to try to bring disc golf to a broader market and started looking into video, doing a few projects for our through the Ann Arbor Club for our local station. And although there was already a little something going to get disc golf on TV, I was trying to come up with a plan that I thought would be viable in the long run, which is really it's kind of a Wayne's World thing. We're in the basement here, TV-wise, but with the budgets that disc golf can offer, it's about right for us.
So does that mean we're going to be seeing a lot of unnecessary zooms?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. We'll see whatever people want to send me. If it's good, we'll put it on there. If it's bad enough, we'll put it on there. I know I did some really bonehead things with a camera last time I was out shooting video and missed an ace. I shot the basket and had too much of a close-up, never saw the thing go in. It's hard to catch things on video, but when you catch a good one, it really looks great. One of the segments, in fact, we have for the first show is the Shot of the Month, which is a shot in snowball from last year's World Championships. The Lane King from almost 900 feet up a hill just missed an ace. It's a beautiful thing to see, and that's the kind of thing we want to share with people.
And how long is the show? Is it a half an hour, an hour, what?
The first show runs an hour. I expect the second show to run an hour. After that, depending on how things go in terms of recruiting help from around the country, we may run a half an hour, but ideally I'd like to keep it at an hour.
Well, let's talk about submitting videotape to you. Let's say I've got a camera, I've got some buddies out on the disc golf course, and I'm shooting them, and I want to give you the tape. How does that work?
There's two ways to go about it. If you've got a little editing stuff on your computer and you want to do your segment, you can do all the work you want on it and send it to me in a variety of formats. My website, discgolflive.com, can give you all the specific details about formats. If you just want to do the rough work, if you want to get out there because you don't have the facilities to do the editing or the time, if you want to get out there and shoot a final nine at a big tournament in your area, or even a small tournament in your area that you want to cover, or any other aspect of disc golf that's interesting. If you shoot the rough stuff, send that off to me, and I'll do the editing and create the segment.
And I don't have a video camera, but I really am very curious as to how I go about getting a copy of the show to submit to my local community access channel. So what do I do in that case?
All you need to do is send me an email. I can send a copy right off to you. I've got some copies of the first show that I can send off at no charge right now. When those run out, we're going to have to charge a small fee for copying the show. But terms of what it costs us to do a lot of things in television, and $10 won't set you back too far.
And are there sponsorship opportunities available within the program?
Sponsorship can go on at two levels. Any individual tape that's going to be submitted locally for broadcast can be edited at the local level to reflect local underwriting. If there's somebody who's paying for the subscription locally and wants to have that reflected in their show, they can edit in a little bit at the end of the show to indicate that local underwriting. Otherwise, I have national underwriting from Innova Champion Discs and Disc Golf Express, and they're really giving me a big boost to get the show out to the public.
And if there's ads within the show, is that going to be compatible with Community Access Television?
Well, they're not ads per se. They're, if you're familiar with public radio, public TV, it's an acknowledgement. I put a logo up briefly and give them a thanks. And for the most part, that's compatible with broadcast standards at the community access level. It may come to pass that what we're doing in Disc Golf Live doesn't work on a particular station, and then the individual tape can be edited and it can be fixed up to meet local standards.
Well, again, Joe, I think it's a really cool idea. So give us an idea of what kind of stuff we can expect in the very first show.
In the first show, we've got quite a number of nice little segments. We've got a segment looking at the Hall of Fame Classic from last year, which we got courtesy of the PDGA. I did a little segment on a local private course here in the Ann Arbor area, and we take a look at that course. It's called the Wessel Pines. As I mentioned earlier, we've got the Shot of the Month. Got to look back at the 03 Worlds, and a look forward at something about what folks can expect in Des Moines when they get there. We also have a lesson in the first episode from Mike Raley, who gives us some pointers on the backhand drive and just some basics for folks who are new to the game.
Joe Wander, thanks for giving us your time today, and good luck with this project.
Ryan, thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to tell everybody about Disc Golf Live.
Joe Wander is the producer of the brand new television program Disc Golf Live, which is available now. For more information on how you can send tapes to the show, go to discgolflive.com. We spoke to Mr. Wander from his home office in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News. No Super Tour this weekend, so the big guns get a little break, but for everybody else, get out there at Huxley Classic, July 17th and 18th. If you're in Oskaloosa, Iowa, go to the 4th Oski Challenge, and in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, it's the Manitowoc in the Park. High Point, North Carolina, hosting the Oak Hollow Open this weekend for AMs only. And we've got the Shreveport Challenge, the Toronto Island Open, the Auburn Open, the Brandenburg Open, the Copper Mountain Fling. I mean, there's just a billion things on the schedule this weekend. Arlington, the Fahrenheit Fling. How about the Lumber Cup in Makena? Or in Duluth, the Sucker River Open, Terrace Creek Open, and Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. I mean, just check the whole list, man. Don't make me read it off. PDGA.com. And still more stuff to talk about. We've got some fresh stats coming your way. As of July 1st, through 220 events, the Pro Purse was up over $500,000. Here are your tour money leaders as of July 1st. Barry Schultz leading the pack, $15,000 and change. Cameron Todd right behind him, $14,500. Followed by Brad Hammock, Ken Climo, Kevin McCoy, and David Feldberg. The tour points leaders shaking out like this. For the Open Division, it's Cameron Todd at 6885. For the women, it's Carrie Berlager with 606 points. Masters, Ron Russell, your leader, 3745. And for the women, Elaine King, 309 points. Grandmasters, it's Rick Vokes. And for the women, it's Sylvia Vokes. And senior grandmaster leader, Peter Scheif. For the amateurs, Daryl Lambrecht, Kristen Cherry, Bruce Brakel, Deatra Edwards, Morty Finkel, and Tony Hoyman, leaders in their respective divisions. And for the juniors, your leaders are Jamie Moser, Matt Hall, Coral Sauls, and Megan Stroh. We've got a World Championships update from the PDGA headquarters here. The World's confirmation packages are going out in the mail this week, so you should receive those packages either at the end of the week or early next week. Currently, 658 players are confirmed and registered. We've gone through the waiting list. Everything is done except for one thing. There are a few spots left. Now, if you'd like to participate, didn't get an invitation, we're not on a waiting list, here's the deal. You can contact the office and ask for an invitation, but keep in mind you do have to be a current member, and you must have an email account so the office can contact you quickly because of the late date. But again, if you would like to participate in the Worlds, you have not received an invitation, contact the office. Send an email to office@pdga.com, and we'll see what we can do for you. And finally this week, an update on the World Games. Now, you'll recall that disc golf was a medal sport in the 2002 World Games in Akita, Japan. Now, the World Games are essentially a stepping stone right under the Olympics. So, in other words, disc golf has been very close in prying its way into the Olympics. Well, here's the latest. The next World Games is in 2005 in Duisburg, Germany. Disc golf not going to be a sport in that Games. Essentially, the host city has a big amount of sway in what sports are included in each games. Disc golf not in the 2005 games. However, the next games coming up in 2009 in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. Well, the folks at WIFDIF and the Taiwan Disc Sports Federation are both pushing very hard to get disc golf back into the World Games. More on that as the situation continues to develop. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of July 12th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com. Until next time, keep them in the fairways.